we present Derek Jacobi as the king and Carolyn Backhouse as Shahrazad in Tales from the Arabian Nights. Episode 4, The Ninth Pedestal. The beautiful Shahrazad, held at the palace of the king for more nights than any of her predecessors has so far survived, grows ever more curious to know why the king chooses to send others to their death following the unfaithfulness of his first wife. What was his wife to him, and what did she do that others must now pay such a price? Shahrazad is determined to find out, if only to save her own life.
Kemal, the physician to the Sultan, has an instrument which brings the sky closer. He puts glass within a case of metal, and with the night at one end and his eye at the other, makes of distant light great orbs of colour and spectacle. Yet, though he claims to remain in awe at this, the device for him is more precious than the vision. Glass and metal more valued than the stars they capture.
And this is how you see woman?
It can be so, if she be true, like the glass. She brings the awe nearer.
My king, does this concern your wife?
You have been advised against asking.
But that is the reason I am here. Why you plan my death.
She was unfaithful.
In body or heart?
You make a distinction.
I only ask what the body has to offer. Can it trust, promise, honour? Can it betray? Who can demand of flesh a quality it does not possess? Can even a king?
A king has dominion.
A king is allowed to believe that.
Rein in your words now.
It grows already dark, sir, at the end of which the dawn awaits me. Where, then, is my loss in speaking so?
You have a tale?
There is ever a story, sir. If always of someone other.
Why else should one trouble to tell them?
Perhaps to remind us of who we are.
Ah, that again.
Prince Zayn, then. An old story of a young prince. At the death of his aged and much respected father, the young Prince Zayn inherited the ancient and noble kingdom of Basra. Yet so dissolute were his ways, squandering the wealth of house and family, it was feared the kind days of his father's rule would not be seen again. Then, one night, the prince had a dream, and in the dream came an old man who spoke to him of a strange chamber beneath the palace, wherein lay a golden key. Zayn, convinced of the dream's worth, sought the promised space beneath the ground, and finally his search uncovered just such a chamber, and by the door an urn containing a golden key. The key turned, the door opened, and beyond lay a room containing 9 stone pedestals, upon which stood 8 small statues intricately made from precious jewels. But the 9th pedestal was empty, save for a written parchment left for the prince by his late father.
8 jeweled figures I have bequeathed to you, each of worth beyond compare. But now I urge you to find the ninth, which will equal the value of all the others, and more besides.
At this, Prince Zane was overcome with a great appetite, for it is the nature of greed to be ever restless for further gain. And so, accompanied only by an old and faithful servant, he immediately set forth in search of the dream.
Wealth is such a wondrous thing, Mubarak. Who could imagine a life without its company? What do you say, mere servant as you are? Speak as you feel.
The consolation of the poor, sir, is that the rich are always sorrowful.
Are they indeed? No, Mubarak, wealth can readily console any man's tears. I cannot see true contentment without it.
I once knew of a hermit who had nothing at all, yet was seemingly fulfilled.
All property bait should exclude fools. A hermit cannot be considered a man at all.
Sir, look, beyond the trees.
And there, caught in mist, they saw a great lake, in the middle of which an island, more fair than either could previously have imagined. Trees that whispered messages from the wind, sky that took its colour from their words. And on the brow of a hill, beyond a bridge of rainbowed shell, lay a small castle.
This must be the fabled island of the Sultan of the Genie. See the bridge? It is made of shells alone. That is his sign.
Could he offer us shelter, do you suppose? I would welcome not having to spend another night upon the ground.
We have to be most cautious, master. This is a place of enchantment, and that is always kin to danger.
There's a boatman who will take us across. Hail him, and let us wait no longer.
He must not be spoken to, sir. Be of great caution. We will surely perish upon the waters if a single word is addressed to him.
He looks a ragged sort of person. With water all about, a regular bathing would not be beyond him.
Not one word, sir. I beg you.
And as the island grew closer, Zayn and Mubarak were able to see its beauty in a way not apparent from the further shore. The whispers of trees were now made voices, each with a story of its own. And this is the nature of the enchanted. It ever makes visible the otherwise hidden promise of the heart.
This is surely a sight not given to many, eh, Mubarak?
With caution, as I say, master, with caution. Here we see only what we are meant to see.
Age might well have dimmed your vision, old man, but mine sees only fairness all about. The weather turns. Bed in the castle this night would be very welcome.
He calls us, sir. That is his voice.
A storm, Mubarak, no more. There is nothing...
It is the genie who speaks.
Who is it that crosses the waters of vision? Who seeks the dream beyond the eye?
How do you talk to a genie? What do you call it exactly?
Wait till it appears, sir. If it comes as a handsome youth, then it finds favor in our coming to this place. But if fierce and angry, then we are doomed.
We would see you, good genie. We come in fellowship and with much respect.
You are most welcome, good sirs.
All praise, a handsome man.
It is gracious of you to greet us so. I am Prince Zayn of the Kingdom of Basra, and this is my faithful servant, Mubarak.
That I know.
You foresaw our company?
I foresee all. In turn,
the names matter little.
I will admit it was the prospect of your hospitality that attracted us to this place. We have slept on ground too many nights.
This day it will be otherwise. Good sir, you shall enter my house. And what shall then befall you? We shall discover together.
Tell me then, noble sir, of what manner is a genie? I see the flesh and blood before me, see it eat of this most estimable meal, yet remain uncertain as to the nature of its usual life. You seem as previous men I have known.
First, tell me what you suppose yourself to be.
Well, a man, as any other, except born a prince.
You think, feel, behave as others. This is what you say.
Well,
do any resemble one another in true fashion? Or is it simply agreed amongst you that what takes place must seem the same? For your own assurance, I am most curious to know.
These are questions, sir, of which I have but
your
little...
Your servant understands. His eyes moved when I spoke of it. Tell me, Mubarak, tell me your answer to this.
I think we share only what separates us, Genie. Arms, legs, a head that seeks each other out. This we all have. Yet they are the very things we use to claim each other as distinct. Men make each other different in order to lead the lives they must. But were the shadow play to end, they would, I think, stay quiet in each other's company and so inherit peace.
Oh, you speak well. Truly the wise are ever servants.
My father had him educated. He is also an excellent gardener.
And what he says is true. Consider, two children play at the edge of the sea. One builds a temple. The other digs a hole in the sand. How grand this temple, most would say. A hole is a pitiful thing beside it. But when the tide returns, washing away their play, again, all is simply sand. You came here for help?
I need help. Certainly.
What then do you seek? All men seek something.
I seek a figure on a pedestal. It shall resemble all eight figures that went before, but exceed them in value beyond compare. And it shall be mine alone.
Then have it. I grant it you.
So simply?
In exchange, there is first a task you must do for me.
Anything?
A task that carries but a single condition.
I accept, good sir. Most willingly.
It will be arduous.
What the genie asked of Prince Zane appeared quite simple, but a time of deepest trial lay ahead. Yet greed recognizes no hindrance to its appeasement. A fire devoid of warmth, pledging a comfort it can never honor.
It is clear to me the genie is a fool. I had thought he would seek from me some greater task than this. Of him, I have asked a nation's ransom.
Beware, sir, of appearances. They often conceal unsuspected depths.
You enjoy too much the company of books, Mubarak. Have you ever seen a wealthy scholar?
I say only that a genie will never be as he seems. His true face is always hidden.
A woman untouched is what he said.
Where is the entanglement there? No, good servant, nothing could be simpler.
Time is not on our side, sir. A single circle of the moon was the condition, and already we are 2 days on the road.
Oh, always complaint. Bide your time, faltering Mubarak, and you shall see the swift and prosperous turning of your master's fate.
My father will not speak, sir. He's not done so since my mother's death, some 2 years past. He bids me talk for him, for I know well his mind.
He permits you to speak for yourself?
That was ever our way.
The more I travel this country, the more oddness I seem to meet. Well, girl, I shall speak plain. The gold I have lain upon your table will turn your father's life into paradise forevermore. No further care or sorrow. Now, that is all anyone need know, I would think.
I have already given you my answer, sir. I am untouched, but cannot follow you save as your wife.
And I have said I have no need of a wife. I need more, someone suitable, and that before the moon will turn again.
Sir, my name is Maisoon. I am near to 16 years, and whilst no amount of gold will ever buy me, I will tell you that for the price of fidelity alone, I would gladly give my life.
What is this girl saying, Mubarak? Could it be a yes, do you think? Or more of a no sort of thing?
I fancy she wishes to know your purpose in wanting her to follow you at all, sir.
That is a matter for me alone. Tell her so.
I am also your servant, Lord, as are all your subjects. You have but to command.
You must come willingly.
Then first, I would be your promised bride.
The prince that day would have pledged anything. The stars and moon were they his to give. And so Maisoon duly received the answer of her dreams. A man of noble birth, whom she hoped might share with her the yet nobler covenant of two people towards a greater life. And on the journey back towards the genie's castle, they halted at the wayside.
Are you not cold? Take my robe and draw closer to the fire.
Why does your companion sit away?
He has a fire of his own.
Will his give less heat, do you suppose, being a servant?
I must tell you, you are not the kind of woman that I have previously known.
How do I differ?
You make me doubt what once I thought to be contentment.
Ah.
Do you miss your father?
I have found a certain charm in distance.
I frequently miss my own. He was a righteous man.
Some say death lends us all stature. You do not feel yourself to be righteous? You spoke of your father's life out of regret for your own. Oh, it appeared so. Will you take me as your wife, sir, as promised? Am I to trust your pledge?
You question the word of a prince?
I do, Lord. For despite your rank, you are a man whose eyes seem always betrayed by what is spoken. I ask only which I should believe.
Let me tell you then, Maisoon, why I really find you so unlike others.
And as the journey lengthened, and above them the moon turned, each place through which they passed brought fresh thoughts, and with them came the need to share.
Why do you not tell me the whole truth, is what I ask? Where are you taking me? And why?
And in his heart, Zane now knew that the condition the genie had exacted was already broken. And at last, on a night but 2 days distant from the castle, Zane told Maisun all of the chamber beneath the palace, of the 9 pedestals, and the meeting with the genie.
And what did this genie ask of you in return?
It was simple. I was to find a young, untouched woman and bring her to him for his keeping.
Nothing more?
There was a single condition. I was not to care for her. Not for one moment in any way.
And is that how it is? You have no care for me.
My son, in finding you, I am lost. Was this genie then mad or wise?
He knew, Master, as now you do.
Knew?
That the deepest wish of all men is for innocence, and that when met in another, it will be cherished, cared for, without avoidance. At such times, no man has choice about such things. The deep haunts us all, and when calling must be answered. He knew you could not fail to care.
Greetings to you, Prince Zane, and to your servant.
We return, O genie, as was promised when we struck our bargain.
And I too shall now honor my word. Place the maiden in the boat that now approaches, and then return from whence you came. And you shall find where once was emptiness, now sits the treasure of your heart.
I would ask of you a change of heart, of bargain made. Let the pedestal stay empty, and in return, let this maiden go the way of her choice.
Master! Leave me, sir, please. I will no longer hold you to your word.
She speaks true. Listen, Master.
You already know this cannot be.
Then take my all. The treasure of my house, the palace itself. If exchange be needed, take my living. Good genie, a prince begs this of you.
Give her hand to the boatman. Then turn your back. The time grows short. Already I feel the moon turn in my blood.
No. As he says, Master, or none of us shall leave this place.
Oh, boatman, here, come for me.
My son, do not. This cannot.
No, Prince, do not stay longer, I beg of you. Only remember.
For Prince Zane, the journey back was the quiet discovery of his own darkness. What once was thought fire was now but ash. Riches, penury. Only Mubarak urged him on, moving him forward towards the promised prize of the 9th pedestal.
All pedestals are now in your keeping, Master, and the 9th said to be more precious than all the others combined. However troubled your heart, this must surely be its final comfort.
There is no comfort, Mubarak. In seeking gain, I have lost.
And slowly, at the very end of the chamber, there came into view the ninth pedestal.
Oh, I have been rewarded, good Mubarak. See,
but
a pile of cloths and silks, the rewards oft given to a servant. There is some justice then, perhaps. What I have been taught this day is that true reward can only match our hidden purpose. We gain no more than we give.
Lord, the cloth, it moves. It seems to have a life within it.
Is this you? My lord, is it truly you?
My son. My son.
And around each other they threw a lover's knot of arms. All the waiting of their lives until that time, a present joy. And only then was it fully known. Caring was the prize, and all the treasure of the world, but dust on the road of each man's dreams. For only when loss entire is with consent, does gain arrive unasked.
This, then, is the honoring of my pledge. That I was asked for riches true, and now have I granted such. Let this be known, that no man is made greater or lesser by that which is acquired or lost. He enters this world destitute of possession, his very name granted by someone other. Stay, then, with what you ever are, paupers all, in the deepness that we share.
Shahrazad, not tomorrow, sweet child. It shall not be tomorrow's dawn. Suddenly, I have other thoughts.
Oh yes, my king! Yes!
We shall not be parted.
Sweet gratitude, my lord, with all my heart.
No, little one. I meant only that I would be with you when the time does come. Then all may witness the meaning of your end for me. I shall be with you when you meet the sword.
The ninth pedestal was the fourth in the series of Tales from the Arabian Nights, dramatised from traditional sources by Colin Hayden Evans. The king was Derek Jacobi and Shahrazad Carolyn Backhouse. Prince Zayn was James Telfer, Maisun Teresa Gallagher, Mubarak John Baddeley, and the genie Steve Hodson. The music was composed by Sue Harris and played by Sue Harris and Stephen Hannigan. The series was directed at Pebble Mill by Nigel Bryant.